Hello, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Continuing on now in the book of Numbers, we're in Numbers chapter 32. And we pick up our study today in verse number 1. And before we do, let's pray. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Numbers, chapter 32, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, the Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar, the priest, and to the leaders of the community, and said, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealeh, Sabim, Nebo, and Beon, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel, are suitable for livestock, and your servants have livestock. If we have found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Reuben and Gad, two tribes in Israel, recognized that God was the one who caused Israel to conquer the land on the east side of Jordan. They're not actually in the promised land proper yet. But the way they are thinking is this: since he gave it to Israel, since it was perfect for raising cattle, and since they had a lot of cattle, well, they asked if they could just live there. And there's really no indication of any kind of rebellion or selfishness here. But try telling that to Moses, because he didn't take it well. Look at verse 6. Moses said to the Gadites and Reubenites, should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to look over the land. And you might remember that story. Moses, actually, let's read verse 9. Let's continue on. After they went up to the valley of Eshcol and viewed the land, they discouraged the Israelites from entering the land the Lord had given them. Now he's talking about this thing that happened 40 years earlier. They refused to go into the land. Remember? And then, verse 10, the Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore in his oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of those who were 20 years old or more, when they came up out of Egypt, will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. So Moses was irate with their request here. Again, 40 years earlier, their fathers refused to cross over into the promised land. Now these people say they don't want to. They have a better reason than their fathers, but Moses is still upset. You see, Moses was afraid of a replay of what happened 40 years earlier. And as he mentioned in these verses, the fear of the 10 spies that were sent by Moses to check out the land 40 years earlier quickly spread. A until the entire nation refused to enter the land of Canaan. And Moses was afraid that talk about staying on the east side of the Jordan by these two tribes would again discourage the entire nation. Moses is very sensitive. If you had gone through all the stuff that he went through leading these rebellious people and then wandering in the wilderness because of them, I think you'd be touchy too. Moses wants to be extra careful. Verse 14. And here you are, a brood of sinners, standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel. If you turn away from following him, he will again leave all this people in the wilderness, and you will be the cause of their destruction. Moses was afraid that Israel would never get into the land. What a tragedy it would be if after all the miracles in Egypt and all the years wandering in the desert, God would once and for all say, that's it. You guys are never going to enter the land. You're just too rebellious. And clearly Moses feels deeply about this. And before we're too quick to condemn him for being hasty, we should remember that his feelings were based on experience. And he's had a lot of experience with these people and a lot of trouble with God because of them. 16. Then they came up to him and said, we would like to build pens here for our livestock and cities for our women and children, but we will arm ourselves for battle and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. Meanwhile, our women and children will live in fortified cities for protection from the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until each of the Israelites has received their inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan because our inheritance has come to us on the east side of the Jordan. They say, we don't want to stay east of the Jordan because of a lack of faith in God. We're so confident in God's promises that we're willing to help our brothers beat the Canaanites before we come back and settle down here. We're going to leave our children and our wives over on the east side. That's what we're willing to do. We're so sure that God's going to give us victory in the promised land. So theirs was not a lack of faith, not at all. So verse 20, then Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, and if all of you who are armed cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven his enemies out before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. And this land will be your possession before the Lord. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Build cities for your women and children and pens for your flocks, but do what you have promised. The Gadites and the Reubenites said to Moses, we, your servants, will do as our Lord commands. Our children and wives, our flocks and herds will remain here in the cities of Gilead. But your servants, every man who is armed for battle, will cross over to fight before the Lord just as our Lord says. Then Moses gave orders to them, I should say about them, to Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun, and to the family heads of the Israelite tribes. He said to them, if the Gadites and Reubenites, every man armed for battle, cross over the Jordan with you before the Lord, then when the land is subdued before you, you must give them the land of Gilead as your possession. But if they do not cross over with you armed, they must accept their position with you in Canaan. And Moses and the two tribes strike a deal. But Moses warns them to keep their word or they will suffer the consequences. He makes a very sobering statement in verse 23. He says, if you don't keep your end of the deal, your sin will track you down like a bloodhound, in essence, is what he was saying, and that means trouble for you. Doesn't pay to mess around with sin, as if we can keep it a secret forever. Because the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. 33. Then Moses gave to the Gadites, the Reubenites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the whole land with its cities and territory around them. The Gadites built up Dibon, Ataroth, Aroer, Atroth, Shophan, Jazer, Jogbeha, Beth Nimrah, and Beth Haran as fortified cities, and built pens for their livestock. And the Reubenites rebuilt Heshbon, Elah, and Kiriathaim, as well as Nebo and Baal Meon. These names were changed. And Sibma. They gave names to the cities they rebuilt. Now those old demonic deities will not be in control of that land any longer. This has become, or will become, the land of God's people. So they're going to change the names of the cities from names that reflected the old pagan gods that were worshipped to names that reflect the relationship with the God of Israel. Verse 39. The descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, went to Gilead, captured it, and drove out the Amorites who were there. So Moses gave Gilead to the Machirites, the descendants of Manasseh, and they settled there. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, captured their settlements and called them Havoth Jair. And Noba captured Kenath and its surrounding settlements and called it Noba after himself. Now these verses deal with the expansion of God's people in the area east of the Jordan River. And we'll pick it up in chapter 33 next time. Won't spend much time there. We're quickly coming to the close of this book. See how far we get next time. Thanks for spending this time with me and for studying the book of Numbers. Till next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.